You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the government announced a complete ban on disposable vapes and higher fines for vape retailers and individuals caught selling to under 18-year-olds as part of its crackdown on youth vaping. I spoke to co-founder of Vape Free Kids NZ, Marnie Wilton, about how effective she believes these measures will be in stopping youth vaping. Here is that interview. How effective do you think this is going to be in stopping youth vaping?
Look, there's no question that upping penalties for retailers who are selling to underage, to kids is a good thing. But at Vape Free Kids, we just don't feel that's going to be effective. And the reason is that there's not enough enforcement officers to actually enforce these fines. So throughout New Zealand, the figure that the minister's been giving is 15 officers for the entire country. Now, there's about 7,500 retailers that sell vapes at the moment. So you don't have to be too clever to work out that 15 officers is going to be a pretty hard ask to actually have any proper enforcement. So the penalties alone, we just don't feel is enough. They need to be looking at the not only upping the enforcement, but also looking at the easier option is looking at the availability of the vapes in the first place and reducing the number of outlets.
We also saw that the government went forward with banning disposable vapes. Do you think that this goes far enough from preventing young people from accessing cheap vape products?
Again, unfortunately not. I think the government's made these statements about high penalties, banning disposable vapes, and they sound really good, but when you start to dig deeper, you realise that the effects aren't necessarily going to be there. And with the disposables, the issue we have now is the industry is really good at pivoting and coming up with new products that fit the new legislation. So we've already got pods, which are cheap, and you can buy, I believe, for about $10 a pod vape, and then you can buy the replacement pods. So they're going to be completely legal because they're refillable. So, it's not enough. Yes, it's great that those disposables have been banned. Yes, it's great that penalties have gone up. But overall, that is not going to be enough. We need to have a proper comprehensive strategy that looks at how vapes are going to be made less available in our communities.
How widespread is youth vaping here in Aotearoa?
Yeah, it's really quite sad when you look at the figures. The latest figures we've got is the New Zealand Health Survey, which those figures were released in December, and they showed that the number of 15 to 17-year-olds vaping daily in New Zealand has doubled in the past year. So it went from 8.3% in 2021-22 up to 15.4% in 2022-23. So that's 15.4% of 15 to 17-year-olds, which is a heck of a lot. And the other thing that's very concerning is that the Ministry of Education's released some statistics a few months ago, and that actually shows that primary school students are among the most stood down for vaping across the country. So 6 out of 10 regions in New Zealand, primary school students are stood down more often than high school students. So we're definitely seeing it going down the age groups too. And I've got a kid in primary school and a kid at intermediate, and absolutely vaping is out there. I think anybody who wanders around our streets, unfortunately, and looks, you know, or maybe has children or has nieces and nephews or friends with younger kids, we know that vaping has become quite normalised and out there in our communities, and it doesn't have to be that way, you know. We need to do something about it.
What more do you think the government could be doing to stop youth vaping?
Yeah, I think we need to look at Australia and what they're doing over there. They've taken a much more comprehensive approach, and I think the big thing they've done is they've recognised that big tobacco is looking for its next generation of nicotine addicts. You know, we've got a sort of few T-shirts we've been trying to print at Vape Free Kids, and on the back of them it says, "Big tobacco needs little addicts." And that's, you know, that's the bottom line here. The government in Australia seems to have, you know, realised that it requires some real tough measures to actually put tobacco industries in their place and put our kids first. So what we'd like to see, the availability go right down. And we'd like to see the coalition government stick to the promise that National made pre-election, which was to reduce the number of outlets selling vapes down to 600. It's currently over 7,500. We'd like to see their promise that they made and have that go down to 600 outlets to make a huge reduction. And that's one thing we'd like to see. We'd also like to see vapes really put back into the category of a smoking cessation tool. You know, they're supposed to be introduced for adults who are smoking. So we'd like to see plain packaging on them. We'd like to see warnings on them. They contain nicotine. We'd like to see an end to all these colourful, bright, kid-friendly packages and flavours, all those things that just say to us, hey, big tobacco is trying to lure the next generation in, you know. There's a whole lot of things in fact we would like to see, so I don't want to kind of take up all your time listing them, but another big one is support. So we've got a group of over 2,000 parents, whānau, community members, health workers, all on our group. A lot of them are really struggling with kids that are addicted now to nicotine because of vapes, but there's no support out there for them. So we think a really big part of what's missing with the government announcement and what we'd like to see is increased support for those young people who are now addicted to nicotine and want to get off it, but they can't go to Quitline because Quitline just helps smokers. There's nothing youth-focused, and we feel that's a big missing part of it. We also want to see an education campaign. In Australia, it's all over bus stops. It's all over the place. There's big posters up saying, you know, if you're, you know, if young people don't vape, it's not good for your health. We don't have that here. We don't have any public education, and we know there's a lot of scientific information out there to show that nicotine affects our developing kids' developing brains. So there's a lot more that can be done, and we feel that this latest announcement falls short. I really feel that, you know, the young people out there listening, uni students and other students, have got heaps to offer in terms of good ideas and how perhaps we can be working to reach more young people. So I'd love to encourage anyone listening to check out our group. We're on Facebook, Vape Free Kids NZ. We're on Instagram. And we have a website, vapefreekidsnz.org. So please reach out to us. Please let us know if you have any ideas, because we think that ideally young people are going to be the ones that can reach young people.
I also spoke to Associate Professor at the University of Auckland Bioengineering Institute, Kelly Burrows, about her thoughts on the government's crackdown on vaping. I started off by asking Burrows what impact she thinks the recently announced measures will have on reducing vaping among young people.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that this will have an impact. So the previous government tried to introduce rules to get rid of disposable vapes, but they didn't go far enough. They only got rid of vapes with removable or rechargeable batteries. So the new policies, or when they come in, are hoping to properly get rid of disposable vapes. And I think this will have a really big impact because these products are really accessible. You can get them for sort of under $5 per vape. So they're really accessible for younger people, easy to get hold of, and as well as sort of, you know, enabling those younger people to really take up vaping. It's also an environmental concern, in my opinion.
And the government is also increasing fines for vape retailers and individuals who are caught selling to minors. How effective do you think these measures will actually be?
So it's hard to know because a lot of the new rules that have been brought in, it's hard to know who's really policing or enforcing these rules. So it sounds like there's only sort of 15 staff members that will be, checking in on shops to make sure they're adhering to the rules. But I do think that having that, the risk of those bigger fines are going up from 10,000 to 100,000, I really hope that that will at least put a bit more fear into the shops who have, you know, who do regularly sell to underage people. And I do hope it will have an impact. But I think that the government could go further. I mean, I think one thing that they could do to try and reduce youth vaping is to get rid of some of the flavourings. There's thousands of different flavouring options, and this is one of the things that really appeals to youth. A study in the US showed that, I think they surveyed a few thousand young people in the US, and 75% of them said that they would quit vaping if they could only get tobacco flavour. So I think that really shows that those flavours are a really key thing in young people taking up vaping.
And this also comes as international research has shown that e-cigarette users experience similar DNA changes to the cells lining their cheeks as smokers. What can you tell us about what this means for better understanding the long-term health effects of vaping?
Yeah, this is a really interesting and sort of groundbreaking study. So we don't yet know the long-term health effects of vaping. So it took at least 50 years for smoking to be widespread in the community to really make those links between lung cancer and different lung diseases or other diseases from smoking. Vaping has only been around for about 20 years. It's going to be a while till we see the long-term health effects. So what researchers like me and other people around the world are doing are trying to look for these early markers or early links that indicate what the long-term health effects are. So this study that just came out, as you said, looked at cheek cells, and they looked at how the DNA changes in smokers and vapers. And they found similar changes in the genetics or the DNA or the how the DNA is working in both people who smoke and vape. And these changes have sort of been linked in smoking cohorts to the eventual development of lung cancers. So I think this is a really important study to sort of get some of those early ideas of understanding the long-term health effects of vaping and showing that possibly we will end up having similar outcomes in people who vape as those who smoke.
Just how close are we to being able to correlate vaping with increased risks of diseases like lung cancer, like we see with smoking?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think it's still quite a long time away, because I think people won't really believe it until, you know, there is those people actually developing these diseases. And as I said earlier, it's sort of, you know, someone might start smoking when they're 20. They're not going to start seeing these effects of, for example, lung cancer or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease until they're 50, 60 or 70 years old. So, you know, it is really the long-term use of these products. So I think we're going to have to wait another 10 or 20 years before we sort of really see this happening in widespread in people. So until then, all we have to go on is what we can look at and research, so including looking at cells, looking at animal studies, and looking at short-term markers in humans. Hopefully more and more evidence will come up to sort of have those early ideas of whether there are changes so that we can sort of prevent it from happening, in the population in the next 10, 20, 30 years.
That was co-founder of Vape Free Kids NZ, Marnie Wilton, an associate professor at the University of Auckland Bioengineering Institute, Kelly Burrows, on the government's recently announced measures aimed at reducing youth vaping.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.